We have a very short study tonight, but in the book of Romans, chapter 6, I want to look at verses that we started to look at last week, but didn't get an opportunity to go into in great detail. I'll just put the whole outline before me there so you can copy that down if you would like. Two weeks ago, we took a very long and hard look at verse 3, where Paul says, "Don't you know, aren't you aware of the fact that all of us who were baptized into the body of Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life." Now, I mentioned, and I still hold to that, some of you have questioned me about it, but that Paul is not talking about water baptism. There's a lot of other passages in the New Testament that talk about water baptism, but I insist, according to my own present understanding, that Paul is not talking about water baptism in this passage. We mentioned the verse, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13, "For by one Spirit were we all baptized into one body." And notice that's in past tense. We were all baptized into one body. By the Spirit. This is Spirit baptism. You remember John said, "I baptize you with water, but there's coming one after me who will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire." That there is a distinction here between water baptism and Spirit baptism. And furthermore, as we mentioned from 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verses 13 through 17, Paul never put any such priority on baptism to indicate that it's by water baptism that we gain our identity with Jesus Christ. That's something that happens the moment we believe. And in verse 17 of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, he says, "For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel." Now, if baptism was a part of the gospel, and this is the answer to those who say and insist that water baptism is necessary to salvation, if water baptism is essential to salvation, why in the world then did not Paul baptize those to whom he preached? It just doesn't make sense. If that's a part of the gospel, then Paul was terribly misled not to be baptizing those to whom he preached the gospel of Christ. So, I insist that this refers to Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 4, our incorporation into the body of Christ. I used an illustration a couple of weeks ago, and I want to refresh the minds of those of you who were there, and perhaps those of you who weren't, will see this passage in a new way. The more I've thought about this illustration, the more I like it, because we're like a small incorporation that's on the verge of going bankrupt. And all at once, a larger corporation comes along and buys us out. We merge into that larger corporation. And immediately, there's a change of management that takes place. There's a shakeup in the executive end of it, shakeup in the management end of it. We no more make our own decisions. But we have someone higher up who now commands our entire business. And this is really what Paul's saying here in Romans chapter 5. We were all bankrupt spiritually and morally in Adam, because Adam gave us nothing but sin and death. But the second Adam, Jesus Christ, comes along, and like that larger corporation, he buys us out. And so the moment that we merge into Christ, instead of it being bankruptcy, now we have a whole new area of spiritual resources opened up and available to us as Christians. And Paul's simply saying here the same thing that he said in Ephesians chapter 1 and chapter 2, that we have a tremendous spiritual treasure in Jesus Christ to meet all of our needs. Raised us up together and made us sit together with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. He's talking here about our position, not something that we experience. And I know of a lot of believers that have been misled as they've studied Romans chapter 6 that thinks that these first few verses are something we have to experience. And Paul really destroys that thought when he says, and he puts all of these verbs in the aorist tense. And I want you to catch that if you catch nothing else. All of these verbs here in the aorist tense in verse 2. How shall we live that are dead or died to sin? Dead to sin, live any longer therein. Know ye not that as many of us as were baptized, past tense, into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death. Therefore, and in verse 4, the authorized version has are baptized, but that is woefully inadequate. It's we were baptized, past tense again, with him by we were buried, rather, with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. So this is our identification with him, and it's something that Paul says already transpired. You already have it. You belong to Christ. Now, he mentions how we were baptized into Jesus Christ, baptized into his death. But notice in verse 4, and that's what we want to look at tonight, is that also we are buried with Christ. Buried with Christ. Now, he says, this isn't something you experience. How in the world do I experience being buried with Christ? We talk about how we need to be crucified with Christ, but we've got to carry that a step further. If we really mean what we're saying, how can we be buried with Christ? There's no way. I have already gone through the process of spiritually being buried with Christ. That's the whole point of Paul, what he's saying. Not something to be experienced, something you already have. You've been buried with Christ. Burial and resurrection. In verse 3, we were baptized into Christ and into his death, and now we are buried with him by baptism. You men ever had the experience of having your wife say, honey, I need some new dresses. And I need about $10, $15 to buy some material. And you're sitting there reading the newspaper, and you sort of hear your wife out of one ear, but you really don't hear. And come to find out, your wife has already bought it. And she's just looking for a verbal okay. And you think it's something she's going to be getting out there in the future somewhere. And lo and behold, she already has it. Well, this is really what Paul's saying here. You already have this. It's not something that you're trying to attain. You already have died with Christ. You've already been buried with Christ. Your position. Now, if you look at Galatians 2:20, and that's another interesting verse, which perhaps many of you know by heart because there's a chorus that goes with Galatians 2:20. Paul says, I am crucified with Christ. Now, I want you to notice a correction there. It's I have been crucified with Christ. That's what Paul is saying. Again, it's an aorist verb. I have been crucified with Christ. Not I'm in the process of being crucified with Christ, which the authorized version makes it sound like. It's a process. I am in the process of being crucified with Christ. No, he says, I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. That's a definite position and possession that we have before God. We've been crucified with him, and Christ is now living in us. Now, getting back to Romans chapter 6, and maybe we should say something further about Galatians 2:20. You notice the whole context of what Paul's saying deals with justification. In verse 14, for example, and in verse 16 of Galatians 2. It's all about justification. Paul's talking about that initial confrontation of receiving Christ, that I've been justified. And that's something that's taken place in the past, not a process or an experience that we're seeking to have. But in Romans 6, and you notice burial is always the final proof of death. And here's what Paul's saying. Here's the proof that you died in Christ because you've been buried with him. You know? That's proof that I died with Christ. I've been buried with Christ. And Christ would not have buried me had I not died with him. You never take a man and bury him unless he's dead. Very rare occasions when you do it otherwise. He has to be dead. And the one certificate to indicate that he's gone through that graduation and graduated from the school of death is we bury him. That's his diploma. He's been buried. So Paul says, likewise, you've died to Christ, and in fact, you have been buried with him in verse 4. Buried with Christ. Buried with him by baptism into his death. Paul says we were so dead that we were buried with him. Again, he says this is not a process or an experience, but something has happened to us in past tense. This person has finished the state and condition in which he was before. So we bury him. Paul says, you're finished with your old position which you once had in Adam. God looked upon you as being in the first Adam, but now you're no longer in the first Adam in Romans chapter 5, but you're identified with the second Adam. You've been buried, you've been crucified, buried, and risen again with Jesus Christ, a new position. I remember when I worked at a place called Chrysler. They took me from off of the floor and gave me a whole new job, which was operating a forklift. And it had a new job identification with it and a little better pay. And I was no more just one that they got off the streets who had no skilled laborers, but now I could run a forklift. And that was a great thing, run a forklift. You got to sit around all day while you were riding. That was about the only thing that was good about it. But I had a new position and a new identification, and the company looked at me as different every time I got my paycheck. And so Paul's saying in the same way, God looks at you as being different now because you've got a new position. You've got a new job identification, so to speak. You're in a new position with God, and that is that you are in Jesus Christ. We have a new position in Him. Old things, Paul says, have passed away, and all things have become new. Not are becoming, but have become. And a lot of Christians stumble over that. They say, well, what do you mean all things have become new? And here I am still involved in a lot of the sins that I was involved in before I ever became a Christian. Well, your experience hasn't yet matched up to your position. But Paul says, for all practical purposes, old things have passed away and all things have become new. Again, it's not an experience, but it's a position that we have in Him where we see everything entirely new. And God looks upon us as being entirely new. So then he mentions how we have also been raised with Christ. And this talks about my resurrection with him. And there are other verses of Scripture here which we could bring into this tonight. But Ephesians 1:17, Paul's prayer. He wants us each to grab this truth. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Him, that the eyes of your understanding might be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us. The same power which raised Jesus Christ from the dead, Paul says, is available to you, and has also raised you from the dead. And that power is there and available for us to now walk in a new life. That's in Ephesians 1, 17 through 19. And again in Ephesians 2, when we were dead in sin, He hath made us alive together with Him. By grace you are saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. A whole new position. The old life has been crucified, buried with Him. Now I have an entire new life before me. I was thinking of some way I could illustrate this, and the only thing I could think about was marriage. And it really is a good illustration when it comes right down to it. When I left my father and mother and married my wife, I saw everything entirely different. In fact, my experience even became one of having to shape up a little bit in some areas. Having to pick up my clothes, not let them lay around like I did when I was growing up, and put my shoes and socks in their proper place. And even yet, she has to constantly remind me at times. But a whole new life opened up before me, all because I became married unto another. And even though things didn't change all at once, my relationship with my father and mother was totally changed. And they had a new daughter in the family, and we were no longer living with them. We were now husband and wife. And Paul says in the same way, your old identification with Adam is no longer. Now maybe you've still got a few hangovers from your old life, but he says, listen, you have a total new position. And you still have things that you have to learn, and your experience has to begin to match up to that position. And that's what he says in verse 11. Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. He's saying, now here's what you have, and here's what's happened to you. Now to begin to live like it's happened to you. Begin to live as new people, whom God sees in a total new perspective. No more as recipients of His judgment, and that's what He says in chapter 8 and verse 1. There is therefore no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. God looks upon us as entirely different. We have a whole new way of life. And Paul says, now let us walk in the newness of that life that we have. Just as you now have a wife. You live with that wife. And you make that wife the very first priority in your life. No longer your father and your mother. You have a new relationship, a new standing before the world and before your father and mother. Paul says in the same way, we have been raised together with Christ. Now let us begin to live as new resurrected people who have a new position before God and before the world around us. Do you know Christ tonight? Have you been personally identified with Him? If you have received Christ as your Savior, then you have died with Christ. Now, you say, I don't understand that. Well, remember back in Romans chapter 5, Paul is saying, all right, you weren't there when Adam sinned, were you? But nevertheless, in a sense, we were, because Adam was the human race, as we've mentioned many times. He was the human race. When Adam sinned, you sinned, I sinned. Now he says in the same way, when Christ went to that cross and He died, because I'm identified with Christ, I died with Christ. The moment I received Him, I died with Christ. I was buried in that tomb with Christ. I was raised again with Christ. I don't understand it. It's a mystery. But in the same way, it was a mystery how I was identified with the first Adam in his sin. But Paul says it's true. It's true. Now he says, reckon it to be true in verse 11. Reckon ye also yourselves to be dead. God looks upon you as dead men. Now he says, you begin to look upon yourself as a dead man. And that's where the experience comes in, down in verse 11. Maybe you're here tonight and you've never really received Jesus Christ. And you'd like to receive Him. Remember, it's a very simple thing, as we've said so many times, just personally acknowledging your need for Him. And asking Christ to come into your life. And He will do that very thing. Let's pray. Oh Lord, we thank You tonight for...